Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms here that you can join, and you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. If you do that, the us includes me, Ian.
And Chris.
And future governor of New Hampshire, nobody.
Yes, indeed. In fact, Chris, you were like, you literally just came in here. You were a little bit late, but you had a good excuse.
I did.
And I want to talk about this because you were just, you know, you couldn't tell us all the story in the 30 seconds between walking in and sitting down. But you were just harassed by a local cop.
Yes. I believe it was a Keene city cop here in Keene. I basically got back from my little trip over to Corner News to pick up some a drink and a Reese's.
Mm-hmm.
And
where you paid with cryptocurrency?
Let's see. Yeah, I actually did.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I take that back.
You didn't.
So Dash is also not working.
Oh no! Something's wrong with AnyPay.
Yes.
Ooh, every now and then.
Yes.
It's down to several pay.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately.
Too bad.
I mean, it was a drink. Fortunately, not like a larger purchase, but yeah. Anyway, so I come back to my car, and obviously the guy clearly did not have any reason to start harassing me. He came up to me saying, you know, being kind of like looking at me and being like, you know, what are you trying to enter a closed business for? Not that I was trying to enter a closed business because I never even touched the door. But
the door was to a local eatery that has recently closed.
Right, Lindy's
was
Diner
sold.
Was sold.
For listeners that don't know, this is one of those kind of like local diner places that in New Hampshire they've got kind of a name because it's where the politicians meet the people. That's kind of it, which isn't an attraction to me, but, you know, for some people it
well,
is.
Well, also, diners are just a cultural fixture of New England, so I think the politicians going there is a product of them as an institution and not the other way around.
Sure, but this particular place they actually have as a tagline, where the politicians meet the people.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's on the wall or whatever. It's in there. It's on the menu or something.
I didn't
like
know
that.
It was. Because I thought they all went to Red Arrow. I thought that was the politician.
Well, there's no Red Arrow here.
Well, yeah, Red Arrow's in Manchester, but that's the place where they have plaques for...
photographs.
Who sat there? They've got a picture of Vermin Supreme up, he tells me now.
Yeah, so that's what this place is. It recently closed, like, last week. Apparently it's being sold or has been sold, and the new owners are supposedly going to reopen it. But you went over to kind of take a closer look at the signage that was up, right?
I did. I wanted to take a look on the door. I mean, mind you, keep in mind that this building is literally on the street, right? Like, you're literally within, like, 2 feet of, you know, the door. Anyway, and your average individual is not going to know that they closed, you know, they closed Lindy's Diner. So, like, there was no...
Well, the lights are out, so, I mean, that's going to be a clue.
Yeah, but somebody just walking up to the door, you know, and pulling on the door, not necessarily realizing the lights are off initially, you know, that
it's
I'm
not
sure
too strange.
Right.
It's the
not
sort
strange.
Of thing that
it's
happens.
It's not out of the ordinary. People, I've seen many people do that on the couple of occasions I just happened to be, you know, passing by. So, like, the idea that somebody goes, and I didn't even go, this is the crazy thing, I didn't even go up to the door. I just went closer to the building, but I didn't actually go and, like, put my hand on the door, or I just went near the door to look at, like,
signage
and stuff. Right, on the door. And, I mean, the cop was clearly would have seen this. So he's just basically fabricating a reason to detain me or to come up to me or to have an excuse to detain me. Anyway, then he, of course, moved on because obviously, you know.
Well, wait, were you being detained?
I was.
You asked that question?
I did. At some point, I asked. Well, you know,
did you film or send a cell 411?
Well, so he was sort of like in a position where I just needed to confirm that I, like, he kind of hurried, suggested I was being detained a little bit, I think. But then I was just trying to confirm that I was actually being detained because otherwise I'm leaving. And so he was like, yes, I'm detaining you. And it's like, but the thing is, he started going on to some other thing about some excuse about how some Honda was called in, which was total BS.
Yeah,
there was no truth behind that whatsoever. That had been an accident, and it's like,
which you drive a Honda,
right? I drive a Honda, and now mind you, there's nothing wrong with this car. There's no indication that it's been in an accident. Obviously, I haven't been in an accident, and my car had been parked there for a good couple of minutes, 5 minutes probably, because I'd been in there and I was having a little bit of trouble with, you know, AnyPay and stuff. So, like, it's not like he.
So you're standing there, you're looking at the door, and then all of a sudden, this guy accosts you.
Yeah,
is that what happened?
Yeah. I'm actually sitting in my. My let's see uh I'm Trying to think what happened exactly. So
wait, you were in your car.
I wasn't detained until I had sat down in my.
You went up to the door of this business, checked out the signage, yeah. Then got back in your car, and that's when he approached you?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow. So he was way past the point where he could have thought you were up to something because you walked up to it and walked away.
Right. I was literally there for like 2 seconds just to get closer eyes so I could read the sign. Right. And no, he would have been able to have
what did
seen
he do?
That,
did he walk up to your driver's side
door?
Yeah,
he comes to my passenger side door. Because it was just a kind of sort of casual conversation at first. Mm. And, you know, I didn't want to talk to the guy.
Well, there is nothing casual when it comes to an officer who's talking to you almost every time. They are conducting an investigation upon you.
So here's the thing. I start responding with,
questions. Before you go on, let's set the stage a little further. So you just got back in your car. Yeah. How long after you got back in the car did he come up? And what did he do? Rap on your window? Because it's cold out. You didn't have your windows down.
No. So he was standing there, you know, kind of asking me what I was doing prior to me going to my car and sitting down. It was casual as far as cops go, casual conversation. So like I didn't feel like I was being detained. But then at some point, you know, he was just telling me, you know, something about, I don't even know if it was quite that point. It was more like towards me actually getting and sitting in my car. Mm-hmm. So like, but as I'm moving towards my car, you know, and just, you know, something about, I respond to him saying something about the business being closed. And, you know, after, you know, at that point it should be like, oh, okay, this guy was just, you know, the business is closed, right? No big deal. But I continue to walk to my car, right?
Yeah.
That's the part where I think at the point where he starts talking to me about like making up other excuses for like why, you know, why he's there and effectively. This is where he makes up the excuse of, oh, there was somebody called in like an accident or something like that, or a possible accident or something with a Honda.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, I'm like, yeah, okay, I already know the cop's a liar, but like,
and you're in your car at this point?
I'm in my car, yeah, sitting down.
He's talking to you through the passenger side
my
window?
My door is open still.
Your door's open. Okay.
I hadn't closed my door at that point even. So he basically has come over to my side of my car at this point.
He comes to the driver's side?
Yeah, to the driver's side. Got it. And I'm sitting in the driver, you know, in the driver's side seat. And he starts, you know, making up this excuse, something about, you know, an accident and whatever. And the funny thing is he'd actually, before I even got to my passenger side, he had said, oh yeah, there's no, this car hasn't been in an accident. So like,
was he insinuating that if it were a car that was the car he was looking for, that it was like a hit and run or something? What was he insinuating?
Because
like normally in an accident, somebody calls the police because they need to have them come out to take a report.
I told the guy, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. But like, thing is, he's not going to tip you off that if you say yes, I just got in an accident, he's going to charge you with something. Yeah. So he probably would have kept that under his hat.
Anyway, so basically, because I said I wasn't going to talk to him, he basically at that point was like, "Oh well, I'm going to detain you then," or something to that effect.
Really?
So yeah, he's basically using detention as a sort of punishing me for refusing to talk to him, and
yeah. And see, that's the point. As soon as they say I'm detained or I can't leave, that's when the camera comes
on. That's exactly
if it isn't on before.
That's exactly what I did. I didn't really have a chance to pull my camera out up to that point. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't going to happen. So at that point, and it took me a good 30 seconds probably to actually get my camera out by the time I was even thinking about, like, this guy is right next to my door, I should be thinking about my camera. And, you know, by the time I got my camera started, you know, the guy sees I'm holding a camera, he's asking me what I'm doing as I'm fiddling with my camera trying to get the record to work. And,
sometimes what I'll do in a situation like that is I'll actually say to the officer, if they ask me a question or something like that, or they want to continue, I'll say, hold on. And I'll get the camera rolling, and I'll say, what did you say?
Yeah.
And
I'll actually say, hold on, I'm going to start recording, because I want him to know exactly what I'm
on the record. I told him right away that I was recording.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like...
Well, there's more to the story
here? Yeah, there's a little bit more
to the story. Hold on, we'll continue. 855-450-FREE, that's 855-450-3733. Interacting with the police, generally something that you shouldn't do, but if you're going to do it, make sure you bring that camera out. There's more coming up here. It's free. We'll be right back. Free Talk Live. Dial toll free to bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I want to talk to you about liberty.menu, and then we'll get back into how to handle police encounters, and that is what Chris was just doing a few moments before the show started tonight, as they were harassing him for being a person on the streets, apparently.
Yeah.
Near a business.
Walking while civilian.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally, because I was near a business. I mean, that was the excuse they made up, but obviously it wasn't.
It's a fishing expedition.
Yeah, it's just a fishing expedition.
So, liberty.menu is where you can go if you are an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. If that describes you, you really ought to be over at liberty.menu. Put your business up there. It's essentially a libertarian business directory. But also, if you got an event that you want to promote or you're a digital content creator, there's categories for all those things there. And you can rate and review, of course, other businesses. And then there's also a social networking aspect, so you can connect and share with other people that also care about freedom. So put your voluntariest ideas into action at liberty.menu and use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get a Free Talk Live listener badge on your profile there. We can't give you a discount because the site is free. So get on over to liberty.menu as we continue here. You can bring up whatever you want, and coming up we could talk about China and whatever else is in the news. We didn't even have a chance to talk about what to talk about before the show, because we were talking about what happened to you. Yeah. Because just moments before you arrived here at the studio tonight, a local cop here in the Keene, New Hampshire area harassed you outside of a local business. You were just trying to get a little bit more information about this business that had recently closed by looking at the signage that was up in the windows.
Yeah, I had
it's
thought.
Dark out, by the way, right. So you have to get close to see what the signs say. And this cop comes up to you and starts talking to you about what you're doing, and then starts asking you questions. And you weren't really looking to answer his questions, were you?
No. And you know, one of the things I have to point out for people is I'm not trying to get into a confrontation with this cop. This cop came up to me, right?
That's right.
I just kind of, you know, kept moving along, you know.
Obviously didn't know who he was dealing with, because you just won a $15,000 settlement from the city of Manchester for their cops. One of them in particular, the badge number one in Manchester, who arrested you illegally at a DUI checkpoint 2 years ago.
Did we talk about that? I don't even remember now if we ever even talked about that.
I think we did talk about it, but it doesn't hurt to recap it or talk further about it, because we did put the news out about it officially about a week ago, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's why
worth recapping.
Yeah, sure. but let's talk about the Keene thing first, and then we can...
Yeah, let's finish the Keene thing. So, I mean, where was I? So I'm sitting in my car at this point, and I'm just...
You got your camera out.
I got my camera out. I'm fiddling, you know, trying to get my camera working to record this guy, because at this point he said he's detaining me, and, you know, I didn't have my camera out just because a cop came up to me, right? Like, you know, it's, you know, people have this idea that like activists are like, you know, they're going out there harassing cops, and no, it wasn't at all the case. Like,
no, yeah, a lot of the times I'll give them a chance to go away,
right,
before I pull the camera out, but right. You know, I'll usually go right for the camera pretty quickly.
The key is as soon as he says I'm being detained, if I'm not free to go, I want a record of why.
Well, yeah. So interestingly enough, that's effectively why he left me alone at that point. It was because of the camera. Came out. But the guy wasn't ready to like give in entirely as far as harassment. Mm-hmm. And so he basically goes to the back of my car and he grabs the license plate number and he writes it down and he stands in back so I can't,
you can't
get
leave.
Out. I can't leave, yeah. Right? So he's effectively detaining me without me being detained. And at that point, you know, I just have to wait. I mean, there's not really much I can do. And then, interestingly enough, he gets into his cop car.
That's disorderly conduct, by the way, blocking the flow of traffic.
I know, right?
I threatened to run a security guard over one time like in front
actually,
of a cop.
That actually would be disorderly conduct if anybody else did that.
That's right. Yeah. Not when they do it.
Right. Yeah. And like, if I had been doing that, like in Manchester, like that might have actually been justification. But I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, the last time nobody. And I stood in front of him behind a police car. We got arrested for it.
And he probably got convicted for it too, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. it was so much fun though, because in jail, my girl at the time got digital pictures of like the incidents leading up to my arrest, uh-huh. And she made it into a greeting card. and sent it to me in jail.
Oh, nice.
So when people said, what are you in for? I could say, I'm in for this.
Nice. I didn't know that story. That's a good one.
Yeah, I've still got it.
Anyway, so basically the guy...
So you're standing behind your car.
Yeah, the guy's standing behind my car, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus. All right, so I pull my camera out again, right? Like, mm-hmm. I actually didn't stop recording, I don't think, so I just basically... But I lifted my camera up, because I never want to stop recording until the cop's completely gone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I pull my camera up so that, like, you can see on the video at this point, because I thought the guy was just going to walk away and leave me alone, but he didn't. So I pull my camera up and just, make sure the camera's pointing at him, showing that he's checking my license plate down.
Are you, like,
else.
Poking it out your window and holding it outside? Is that what you were doing?
No, I'm just holding it up in the...
inside the cab.
You can
okay.
see from the inside, mm-hmm. yeah. And, he's just standing there. And then he gets into his car. Now,
And where was he parked in relation to you?
He's parked right next to me.
Right next. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Interestingly, he gets into his car and he starts to back out. Now, this guy, I don't know what this guy is thinking. Like, does he think I'm actually going to pull out while he's immediately after him? Because after he mm-hmm. pulls out, he's just standing there in the
just
middle of
the
freaking
road,
in
the lane,
right?
Okay, yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is this guy? What is wrong with this guy?
And he's waiting for you, yeah.
It's like, I'm not pulling out until you're gone. So, let's see. I'm trying to think what happens next. So, I think he... Does he pull back? Yeah, I think he pulls back in. And so at that point, I'm like, I'm sort of safe to pull out.
Uh-huh.
And so I think I did. I think I then pulled out. I think that's how it went.
Yeah.
And then
he pulls in behind you and starts
following
you.
No, he didn't, actually.
But I thought you said he followed you to the studio.
Well, okay, hold on.
Okay.
He follows. I don't know if it was his vehicle or if he called
another
out
cruiser.
To another cruiser. But it was the same type of vehicle
right.
that I saw as I'm... pulling in basically to the studio here, basically passing by. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, let me get into this house so they can't, harass me anymore. And if they do, we'll just ignore them. At least I figure that's probably what will happen.
They're not going to mess with you here generally. I mean, there's cameras all over the place.
I doubt
here.
It. If they didn't know who I was after, after that incident, they definitely knew once I pulled into this studio here. So
that's it.
That's it.
So
yeah,
no
that's,
ticket, nothing.
That's,
he just went
away. That's the end of the story.
All
yeah,
right, good. So the camera made him go away, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Frequently they do.
Oh, so I've, many times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I
because that's the key. That's a key indicator. If the police are messing with you and you pull out a camera, that's a clue to the officer that they're talking to somebody who knows their rights. They're
mm-hmm.
talking to somebody who isn't your typical pushover. Mm. They're not the typical victim of the police. They are someone who is going to stand up for their rights. They're
yeah.
going to record the conflict. And the cops don't want to deal with that for the most part. So they're going to go.
They're going to mm-hmm. they're going to try and still harass you probably, but it's going to be in more, more like kind of...
My impression is most
kind
of the time...
Just to show who's in charge, even though they don't really have any power.
Yeah, I was going to say, my impression is most of the time they'll keep talking to you long enough that it's like not obvious to save face.
Mm.
So it's they don't want to make it obvious that you pulled out a camera and they went away.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they're starting to think about their exit
yeah.
strategy at that point.
I did get myself on camera saying, I'm not answering any questions as he continues to answer, ask questions. But like, what are they going to do? I mean, there's nothing they can charge me with. There's nothing they have on me at this point.
Well, there's always something they can, make up.
Oh, 855,
450, free, but they're less likely to make it up if they're on camera.
Right.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. Local.bitcoin.com. This is Free Talk Live. You bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms where you can join those and sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever you want. We are talking primarily so far tonight about police harassing innocent, peaceful people, which is what happened to you tonight, Chris, where you were targeted just simply for being in public, I guess, and you were looking at a building.
I
Mopery with intent to gawk.
It's an interesting choice of words, targeted. You know, usually when I think of targeted, I think, oh, because I'm an activist or because I know me. But I guess in this particular case,
he
it's
didn't
not,
know you.
It's not that. That they targeted me for. It was
well,
just
the thing is, that's all a cop sees is target.
Mm. Yeah, it's
whoever
true.
They're talking it's to. True. That's their target.
Right? They're basically just picking out random people on the street to harass for no good reason because they can. Mm-hmm. And assuming they lie and they have no trouble lying because it's like I really want to know. I mean, there's such a pattern to these coppers be. Officers' Coppicers? Behaviors. I think they're...
That's a perfectly cromulent word.
They're clearly being trained, whether it's, you know, in the police, you know, when they're going for training, you know, in the police force, or to become a police officer, or afterward, they're being trained on how to lie. They do it every time they interact with anybody.
They absolutely are.
You know, it's they just make stuff up. It's like they don't even try to, you know, like if anybody actually ever calls them out on it, you know, they're going to get caught in a lie in half of the circumstances. Like, I mean, obviously, if we were to subpoena the record for phone calls and things,
the
like
logs, they're,
right, there's not going to be anything about our Honda Accord. I mean,
I almost guarantee you're right about that. You hold your thought, because we've got somebody on the line here who's also got a lot of experience dealing with police. He is Dave on, I presume it's Dave Ridley. He's the only Dave from Colorado that calls. Is this Dave Ridley?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
How you doing? Same old drill.
Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Probably, given the amount of times you've been on the streets with a video camera, you probably have more video recorded police interactions than I think maybe the three of us combined. You know, have you heard any of this discussion so far here tonight?
Yeah, well, supposedly, I guess Reason Magazine named me the avatar of something or another, recording cops or something like that.
Oh, right on.
Okay. Nice.
But I was
achievement unlocked.
I guess it was really. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He joked. He said achievement unlocked.
Anyway. Well, it was really nice to see, you know, the Free State Project and you denounced in the Union Leader, the local lapdog paper.
Wait, what happened?
That was a sign. That was a sign that we were making progress.
Hold
I thought.
On, who was Chris was, Wade was denounced?
No, I denounced.
I think so. Yeah, there were two articles in the Union, denouncing Free Staters, you know, for bothering the police, basically. And I think what triggered it.
I know what he's talking about. Yeah,
when was, yeah. Carla posted a link to that.
This was a edit. What was it? What do you call
LTE.
It?
LTE.
No, it wasn't the story about me. It was about. It was referencing what I did, but it wasn't.
It was a letter to the editor.
It was
right?
No.
Or was it an editorial?
Editorial, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
So yeah, they did.
I had not heard about this.
Oh yeah, you didn't see this. No, he basically. I think they credit. Did they? Do you remember? Did they credit me for? I mean, indirectly without using my name. Because they used the. They said the word arrest, and I was the only person ever arrested at a DUI checkpoint. So they were very. It was very clear. That basically they were talking about me, and I don't know if they credited me specifically or if it was Free Staters. But basically for the reason in which, or maybe I'm thinking of the story that was written about me.
Yeah, yeah, because the one that they wrote about you, I think there was a reference to a cop saying something about how their DUI checkpoints aren't as effective because of the activists who had come out to oppose them.
Yes.
Well, not only are they ineffective, but I think he said they're not doing them anymore or they've significantly curtailed them.
Right, so it's a huge compliment, basically.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
So I guess what you're referring to, Dave, is there's now a letter here. It's apparently a letter to the editor from someone in Chichester. Headline: Stop the Free Staters from October 20th. Is that what you're referring to?
Oh, that's even better. That sounds like a third thing.
Okay,
but according to Granite Rock, there were two Union Leader articles.
Yeah, I didn't see this one.
Free Staters.
What kind of tone did that? What kind of tone did Granite Grock take? They can go either way on this kind of thing.
Yeah, Granite Grock was defending the Free Staters, but I think it's achievement unlocked, you know, to get the mainstream press denouncing you. It's even better to get, you know, some press saying nice things about you.
Yeah, they actually endorsed me for mayor.
The Union Leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Union Leader could be worse. They're not always lapdog. But I was actually calling about something else. I don't know if you guys have reported on this or not, but there's a guy in Gilmanton, New Hampshire, who's suing the state, I guess, or maybe the local government because they're making him pay taxes.
Yes,
yeah, the guy
school,
who has no kids
part, right?
In school.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think that's absolutely insane. Just yeah.
What's insane?
Well, I mean that they're forcing you to pay taxes to send somebody else's kids to school, and it's not even like we're being forced to pay for like people who are in poverty. We're forced to pay for everybody, every kid that goes to a public school, of which some of those kids have very wealthy parents. So
isn't that crazy? If you're struggling, you're on the edge of foreclosure, you're still paying the property taxes.
Yep.
For the kid of the guy who's foreclosing on your house to go to school.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that I'm making. It's just absolutely insane. I unfortunately don't have much hope for this, you know, changing anytime soon. Just because you sue the government doesn't mean that you're going to win or that they'll even accept, you know, any kind of liability. They won't. I mean, generally speaking, they're immune for the most part, except for like a handful of circumstances. So I
know the guy who's doing it, and I unfortunately know winning in court is not really his thing. Going to court is more his thing. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was indicated in the article.
He's a bit of a kook. I've met him a few times.
Yeah.
Who isn't these days?
Joe Haas. Yeah. I like him. He's fun, but my gosh, he's kind of one of those all caps conspiracy types.
Yeah. It's, I like what some of these people are doing in some respects, like not cooperating with police and like, you know, on stuff that's like ridiculous, like making driver's licenses, things like that. But at the same time, it's like, could you tone down the, you know, the crazy part, you know? And I understand, like I understand people call me crazy, right? But it's like there's a rational, logical, you know, reasoning behind, you know, what I'm doing that's not absolutely insane.
My madness runs but north northwest, but when the wind is southerly, I know a hawk from a handsaw.
Anyway, you know, there's like, you know, if I sue the cops, you know, I expect that there's at least a chance of winning. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some level of, and it's not to say that suing, you know, the police or doing something is not, you know, if you have a reason for doing it that isn't like you think you're going to win, it's like maybe it's for publicity or for some other purpose, right? Like that I can get behind. But just suing the cops because you think you can win when obviously we all know that you're going to lose because just that's just not how the system works.
Well, you don't always lose. I think you won one.
Right, but it wasn't insane what I was suing over. I was suing over a free speech issue that was has clear precedent. Like, it's not even like, yeah, I was trying to create precedent, which wouldn't be that insane if I was trying to create precedent. But like these guys who are suing over like taxes, they're not going to create precedent. Like, that's not what they're doing. That's not what they're trying to do. They're doing it because they think they can win, and it's just I don't know.
Well, there's this thing I like to call it the New Hampshire's feisty little people culture. You know, Chris King would be another good example of that. People that will go and they will take on the government in court with no hope of winning, but they put their whole heart into it and they really tie them down. I mean, Chris, I went to federal court to watch Chris King fight, you know, to get access to Kelly Ayotte. He wanted to ask her a question or something like that. You know, she was a senator at the time. The Republicans in there were really ruffled by him. They were trying to keep you know, this senator from being exposed to a camera, right? And it made them look ridiculous.
That's too bad.
Dave, thanks for bringing this up here tonight. I did find the piece on the Union Leader you were referring to, and thank you for the heads up on that. That's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. We got more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. 855-450-FREE is our toll-free number that it allows you to come on the air with us and talk about whatever you want to discuss. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
Good nutrition is key to looking and feeling great. Of course, eating right all the time can be a challenge these days with travel and work schedules getting in the way. Or maybe you just don't have the desire or the time to shop and cook the right foods. Balance of Nature can help you with 3 of their Balance of Nature fruit capsules and 3 veggie capsules. You'll get 10 servings of fruits and vegetables, and that is a lot of nutrition. You can go online and become a preferred customer, which gives you the best pricing and free shipping. And after your 3rd month, Balance of Nature will ship to you at no charge an additional set of fruits and veggies. It is a limited time offer, so you can go to balanceofnature.com to use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get the deal. That's code FTL at balanceofnature.com. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts, but I did pull up the editorial that was referenced in the last call. Dave Ridley said that there was apparently a hit piece in the Union Leader. I had not heard anything about this. Chris, you said you had seen this?
Yeah, I saw the Grok piece. I did not see the Union Leader takes aim at Free Stater piece.
Yes, so this is the Granite Grok, which is a blog here in New Hampshire.
Oh, I'm sorry, about the Union Leader. Maybe I did see this. I don't think so.
Yeah,
so
they wrote a story called Union Leader Takes Aim at Free Staters, which references Union Leader.
There was another
editorial.
Yeah, there was another Granite Grok story, I think. I don't think it was titled that. So I might be wrong.
I have not.
Though.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
so
I think there was.
If you can find it, you're welcome to pull it up. But let's go first to Jack. He's in Texas watching on Twitch. Go ahead, Jack. Hello, Jack. Hello? In Texas.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, how's your day going?
We're doing a radio show. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk about my life.
Okay, what part of your life?
LRN.FM.
You know, he could have been talking about a rooster, but I'm just going to go ahead and leave that out because obviously it really wasn't worth putting on the air in the first place.
I'm Jack's complete absence of useful content.
Yeah. toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. So we continue here. You can bring up anything that you want. So getting back into what we were talking about in the beginning of the show, which was kind of, knowing your rights when it comes to interacting with the police. Bringing out a video camera, that's one of the most important things you can do in any police interaction to send a signal to the officer, hey, I know my rights. You know, you don't have to say you know your rights because then, they may not, that may not have the same effect. But if you actually pull out a video camera, then they know that you know more than the average
person.
Never
say you know your rights because sooner or later somebody is going to respond, really? Enumerate them.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh.
Demonstrate. my advice would be demonstrate your rights by invoking your right to remain silent and getting out your camera.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And one of the best
lines.
And
I keep to that invoking
I got to admit,
part.
Frequently I invoke my right to bust their balls instead of staying silent. But
well, if you're asking the questions, then you are in control of the conversation. So the safest thing to do when dealing with a cop is to not talk. If you do feel like talking, then don't answer their questions. That's like the worst thing you can do. If you want to ask them questions, then that actually puts you in control of the conversation, and that's a good kind of a turnaround. And especially to do it all on video helps. If you are being talked to by the police and you don't want to speak to them, remember, there was this ridiculous Supreme Court case a few years back or several years ago now that basically says you have to verbally invoke your Fifth Amendment right to stay silent, which
Absolutely.
Is stupid, but that's what they said. So it makes sense nowadays, rather than remaining silent, which could actually get you in more trouble per that Supreme Court decision, you can simply say, I don't answer questions. And there's a guy on YouTube who does this. And he's done it on video on multiple occasions, and it it makes those cops so confused. They don't know how to handle people who don't want to talk to them, and they're not used to that.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. I've got so many videos within that exact situation.
Are you familiar with the First Amendment audit?
Yes.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah, this is where they go around to police departments and ask them questions about filing
a complaint form. Getting a complaint form. Yep. Yeah.
But that would be an interesting thing to do as an activist, especially as we bring in new movers who want to do activism. It's like, well, why don't you go flip a cop off in Derry and see if you get arrested, because nobody's flipped a cop off in Derry lately, and just go from town to town to town and make sure push it to the edge of your rights, well-defined rights that will result in a civil judgment.
So
if See, I got I would do that. I would love doing that.
You know, it's interesting because I've been in numerous situations where those sorts of things have occurred. And I would say that probably in New Hampshire, Manchester is the only place where I've seen anybody actually arrested for something like that.
You're talking about yourself when you were arrested?
It's happened in where?
No, I've never flipped a cop off as far as I can recall. Mm-hmm. But I've seen other activists flip cops off on in various different parts of
Manchester.
And
they were arrested in Manchester?
No, they were not at Manchester. In Manchester, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever seen anybody flip off a cop in Manchester.
Yeah, as I said, I don't recall hearing anything.
Certainly
about that.
Free speech, they made arrests because of.
Well, they arrested you for video recording.
Right. Now, obviously, that's not what they'll charge you with, but.
No, they can't. There's no crime.
And I've seen that numerous times in Manchester where they've arrested people because they were filming, not because of any real.
In Manchester?
Yeah.
Who else has gotten arrested for filming there?
Jeremy Kaufman, right, for outside of his house when they were threatening him.
I think he got arrested for violating their curfew.
There was a blockade.
Well, certain people we won't mention their name,
but he had a video camera.
But certain people that we won't mention. I won't mention their name, but you know who I'm talking
about. Well, we've had two lawsuits that were won against the Ware Police Department, where they arrested.
Carla
and they arrested Biker Bill, both for filming, mm-hmm. and both of
and
them
lost.
Won judgments.
Right.
Yeah. So that would probably be a good thing is start right. just so go around and film every police department in New Hampshire and see what happens.
I only know of one other person who was arrested for those reasons, but I know of about a dozen from what I've been told by certain,
in Manchester?
Really? In Manchester.
Well,
yeah.
Where are the videos?
I don't know.
Of course, if their camera got taken, maybe they're
aren't. Hold on,
let
me back up a second. These are not all activists that have been arrested.
Oh.
That's what I...
Well, how do you know about it then?
Because lawyers I've talked to have told me that there's about a dozen cases.
Oh.
And I know of two of the...
Because I'm going to say, you're the last person in Manchester who's been arrested in recent memory.
Yes.
I mean, before you getting arrested in Manchester 2 years ago, I mean, I can think of Big Mike who got arrested back when the 420s were happening. In earnest back in like 2009, 2010. Jeremy Kaufman got arrested outside of his house a couple of years ago as well, but there haven't really been too many activist arrests.
I got arrested like four times between Manchester and Bedford.
Yeah.
At least two of them were in Manchester.
Was this true?
And I was going to say,
It wasn't.
There's
really,
no video.
You weren't arrested for filming, though. You were arrested for other reasons.
There wasn't video of his arrest either.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true. I didn't have I did not have video, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is really unfortunate, actually, because I never even occurred to me that you never got video of that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I should look back because I remember being on cell 411 when I was doing it, but I don't think I downloaded the video, so I don't know if it's still there or not. It might exist. I would have to check.
Oh wow, we should definitely take a look. I'd love to see that if there was video somewhere.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. He let me call into work and tell him I was going to be late because I was on my way to work when he pulled me over. And
oh,
so
I
called up and I was like, yeah, is Keith in? She said, yeah. I said, okay, well, tell him I'm going to be late for work. Road pirates got me.
Yeah.
I'm imagining you never made it to work that day, huh?
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Actually, they sent one of the cooks to pick me up at jail and bring me to work.
Oh, really?
Because my car had been impounded.
Awesome.
So if you want to comment, you're welcome to here. The number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So, you know, I did pull up this union leader editorial that I guess was published on the 17th. So last week. Headline, Free State Follies. Interfering at DWI stops isn't funny.
It wasn't supposed to be.
We hold no brief for the self-styled free state activists, they put free state in quotes, who enjoy getting in the face of law enforcement officers just to get in the face of law enforcement officers.
Wow.
What moron wrote
hold
this?
On, hold on,
the
hold
whole
on.
Editorial board.
They are,
oh, wow.
They are,
a whole gang of morons.
The police are interfering with every third car, I believe, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me that us talking to them is interfering?
That's what they're saying.
So mm-hmm. So let me get this straight. If I went through with my car and they pull me over, that's not interfering. But because we went up to them on foot.
Oh, they would consider that interfering, too. If you went through with your car, they would be upset at you for having a video camera and asking questions or whatever. We got more coming up here. I'll share the rest of the editorial in moments. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And, of course, they always blame the activists for getting in the cop's face, when in point of fact, that's not what happened. No. The reverse is what happened. Yeah. The cop got in your face, and it's on video for anyone who wants to see it happen. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Gold has definitely been on the move recently, and there is no more secure investment historically. McIlvany ICA has been helping people take delivery of precious metals and find storage options for decades. They've helped thousands of investors with their precious metal IRAs. Call ICA today for your free portfolio review at 800-525-9556 or download their free report online at ICAGoldSilver.com to learn how you can double your gold and silver ounces even within an IRA. 800-525-9556. ICAGoldSilver.com.
Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of the program. As always, you're invited to join us here toll free. Our number, 855-450-FREE. Coming up, some good news out of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Chris, you've got a story about passwords on devices and forcing people to give them up. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit, because we've been talking about the police here tonight and knowing your rights and asserting your rights and recording the police. We're going to get a little bit further into a critique of activism from the state of New Hampshire's top newspaper, the Union Leader, which seems to kind of go in different directions at different times. There doesn't seem to be any kind of editorial consistency with the board, because the very same editors who purportedly wrote this, because remember, with an editorial in a newspaper that supposedly represents the viewpoints of all of the editors of the newspaper, however many of them there are, they're unsigned because they all have supposedly signed off on it. And so on one hand, you've got this critical piece that we've barely gotten into about so-called free staters or liberty activists interfering with DUI checkpoints. But on the other hand, the very same editorial board endorsed you, nobody, for mayor of Keene.
Yeah, although I suspect it was somewhat of a tongue-in-cheek endorsement. But yeah, they did. And they've been friendly to some other things. I mean, their coverage of the 420 rally was essential toward getting it going. If they had been dismissive of it or ignored it, it might not have turned into
same thing was true with the Robin Hood case and the Faking Great story. And you know, so the Union Leader has covered a lot of the stuff we've done.
I think one of the things you guys have to remember is that you've got people on the right, you got people on the left, and some of the people on the right and some of the people on some of the issues, at least, they both sides will support you, right? Depends on which one. So regardless of some of the things they probably do support and some of the things that they just don't.
Yeah. The other thing is you've got left authoritarians and right authoritarians, but you also have left libertarians and right libertarians, using libertarian in the kind of spectrum, not the Boolean sense. So so that makes a difference, too. Sometimes the libertarian left and the libertarian right have more in common with each other than they have in common with their supposed side of the political spectrum.
So let me share more from this critique. Headline, Free State Follies Interfering at DWI Stops Isn't Funny. They say, we hold no brief for the self-styled free state activists who enjoy getting in the face.
We hold no brief?
I've never heard that before. I don't know what that means.
You know, one thing I have to say before we continue is I'm a little bit, one of the things I'm a little bit annoyed about is the way the Union Leader portrayed me as a free stater, even though I never said anything to that effect.
Wait, you're not a free stater?
Well, I am, but that's not...
Okay, well, then it's true.
Right, and I'm not saying I'm not. All I'm saying is that's not what I told them. That's not what I... And they basically just, they put words on me, and what I was doing was not activism, and they're kind of labeling it...
It was activism.
Well, you were out doing activism when this whole thing happened.
Going
you
to
were
a DUI checkpoint.
A sign at a DUI checkpoint.
I was filming the checkpoint.
Well, he was filming,
but I wasn't doing
the
activism, right? Like, I wasn't out
that's
there...
That's activism, dude. If you go out to record the police at a DUI checkpoint... Unless you're there with the mainstream media for some reason, you're there as an activist.
If you're not a member of the club, you're doing activism
but
whether you know it or
why
not.
Why is it that just because I support you know, I support, you know, what the activists are doing, that you have to label me an activist in that particular
dude,
shoot, right?
In the video.
Because you're there doing activism, bro. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Let me remind you of what happened 10 seconds before you got arrested, where we weren't there very long before the arrest happened. Like, yeah, we were there for 2 minutes on the side of the street. And as we're walking sort of toward this or around this checkpoint, I say to you, you know, what we really need to do is see if, I'm paraphrasing here. I say something like, you know, the real test is to see if they come at you for trying to cross into the median. I suggested what you ended up, you were like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then you went and you crossed into the median.
So, you were wearing your come at me, bro, t-shirt.
Okay, so, hold on. So you did say something about jaywalking, but at the same time, I kind of laughed in my head, at least, mm-hmm. because I'm like, well, it's not jaywalking.
Yeah.
And I knew that before I crossed the street, right? So, like, I mean, sure.
What is jaywalking?
Well, it's not – okay, so New Hampshire doesn't have a jaywalking law. They do have laws under certain circumstances where you can't cross the street. But I had already known –
So they charge you with disorderly conduct, blocking traffic?
Well, they did charge me with trying to cross the street, but that's not – it wasn't –
And disorderly conduct.
And disorderly conduct. But there was – neither of those charges had any merit because
of course not.
I didn't actually break the law on crossing the street for New Hampshire, which is only under certain specific situations. You
that
can't
wasn't
charged.
You have to be blocking traffic for the disorderly.
And if you actually look at the charge, the full charge was something about blocking traffic with the crossing the street thing anyway. So I think is what it was. But anyway, the point is that it was obviously
not. And the funny thing is you're
going
over there to bust their balls because they're blocking traffic.
They are, yeah.
Yes, they were definitely.
They're exempted from their ordinances.
Yeah, there's exemptions for
that. But what I was going through my mind at the time didn't have anything to do with jaywalking. My thought was, are they going to come at you because you got closer, right? Because
we knew they were going to harass me. I did not figure they would arrest me.
I didn't know they were going to arrest you either. I thought they were just going to yell at you or whatever.
I figured that's what they would yell at me because, I mean, that's just what cops do. But I didn't think they would arrest me.
You thought if you stood your ground, they'd back down.
I honestly thought they'd back down. And
but that's activism, dude, okay? That whole thing.
No, that's standing up for my rights. And that's not
activism.
That activism.
It
standing up for your rights
is
activism.
Okay,
it
up
is
your
because
not
it's
be
when they
activism.
Are held to account that they change.
Right.
Okay. I mean,
activism is putting yourself out there for the purpose of trying to change things. Right. That's what activists do.
But I don't.
It's
think
like
I,
the verb I, of
okay,
not being
so hold
a coward.
On, back up a moment. I did not think that they would actually arrest me. Right. So like
that's
I,
okay.
I don't think that's
it's
fair
still
to say
activism.
I was doing activism.
You
when,
but you don't have to get arrested to be doing activism.
Right. I agree. 99%
of the activism I've done, I didn't
that.
Get popped.
Sure. And I agree with that. Like, I'm not saying that activism involves getting arrested. Obviously not. I think the people who were actually protesting it were doing activism. But I don't necessarily think crossing the street and filming cops is activism.
Okay. Well
it's
disagree.
Not necessarily civil disobedience. If you believe it to be legal, it's not civil disobedience.
And that's exactly the point that I'm making.
But
it's not civil disobedience.
Cop blocking is perfectly legal,
it's
and
activism.
Cop blocking is activism.
Cop blocking is activism, but I wasn't.
It's just
cop
not
blocking.
Civil disobedience.
We were not they're cop blocking. We were not there protesting. We were there filming.
That's
cop
blocking.
Blocking is not a protest.
I didn't say cop blocking was protesting. I said or protesting.
Okay.
So there were people
see,
there protesting.
To me, if you go
and
up
there,
and you film.
We were there. We were there filming.
To me, if you go up and you film police, that's cop blocking. And activism.
I would say cop blocking is you going to the police, not...
You did go to the police.
You did. You crossed
they
the street.
They were on one side of the street.
Yes.
You were on the other. Why did the hippie cross
just
the road?
Just take the credit, dude. Stop trying to say you're not being an
activist.
Because
I've been cop blocking many times, and that's not what I would call cop blocking.
I would agree with you. Cop watching is where you record the police. Cop blocking is where you insert yourself in some way to a situation. So if somebody
although
is being...
Although that generates confusion
even...
because there is an organization called Cop Watch and
that's
another
right.
one called Cop Block.
And the reason
and
why...
they do pretty much the same
thing. No, they don't.
Thing.
The,
really?
No, the reason why Cop Block was created was because they didn't think Cop Watch went far enough. So Cop Watch, the rule is you're not supposed to insert yourself in any way. You're just supposed to observe. Cop block is where you might say to somebody who's been pulled over, hey, you know you don't have to answer their questions. You know, just kind of insert in some way yourself into that situation to increase the, you know, the rights of the person or their knowledge of their rights.
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever actually been cop blocking based on that definition then, because every time I've ever interacted, I've only ever filmed.
Yeah, that would be a cop watch.
Distance.
If you've questioned them while filming, that would be a cop block. And you've definitely questioned the police while filming, so I'll give you that. Look, take the credit, dude.
But they would have come to us, not the other way around, right?
Anybody who turns a camera on a cop is doing activism. Because, and the reason for that is because it's unusual. If it were true that everyone who was pulled over turned a camera on the cops, then it would be completely normal. It would be what is expected. An activist goes above and beyond what is considered to be normal with the intention of trying to hold to account and change things in the future.
And there is some risk involved. More than one person has been shot because a cop couldn't tell a phone from a gun.
So they claim.
Yeah, that's a claim anyway.
There's more coming up here. 855, 450, free. You got two activists in the studio telling you you're an activist. Just go ahead and
I'm not denying being an activist.
In that case, you were denying it.
No, I said I wasn't doing activism then.
We're saying you were.
I disagree.
And so just take the compliment. There's more coming up here. 855, 450, free. You can join us here. This is Free Talk Live. Yeah, Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us in real life at the upcoming festival in summertime of 2020, ForkFest. It's going to be the fourth year of ForkFest, and this coming year is going to be the biggest one. Now, we have no way of actually measuring any ticket sales because there are no tickets. There's no central organization. There's no bureaucrats. There's no board of directors. There's no organizers. It's just libertarians and voluntarists and anarchists, liberty-loving folks coming together in the same campground. It's Rogers Campground in the North White Mountains of New Hampshire. Beautiful location. And just having a good time for a week together with one another. In fact, it is going to be a week-long event, so it's expanding its length in 2020, so it'll be longer than it was in 2019. It's moving to after the Porcupine Freedom Festival instead of before, so there's actually two festivals happening sort of together with one another. One week it's the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and then following it, it'll be ForkFest 2020. Now, the Porcupine...
Are they doing SporkFest before?
I don't know if they have announced anything about SporkFest.
Or after, because last year they had SporkFest after ForkFest and ForkFest before, but
they did, yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with SporkFest, if anything, this year.
I don't know either. There was like eight people at SporkFest, so I mean, it was just some people hanging out in Jack Shimmick's trailer, basically.
Yeah,
that's what it ended up being.
Well, and probably some people hung over out on the lot, just going, "Oh my God, I can't do it anymore."
Perhaps so. but ForkFest is the one that gets the promotion, so that's what we're talking about here. ForkFest.party is where you can go to learn more about it. It is an unofficial website for an event that has really nothing official to it whatsoever. But there are some dates that some people are going to be going, and so you might want to consider marking this on your calendar. June 29th until July 5th. So, yep, that's right. ForkFest 2020 includes Independence Day in 2020 for the very first time ever. I think it's going to be a big deal because, well, it was bigger this year than it was in 2018, and so it's probably just going to get bigger because people are hearing good things about it. I've heard some people saying they wanted to come this year, but they couldn't make it, so they're definitely going to attend in 2020. So, I mean, everything I think is going to be bigger and better in 2020 about ForkFest. So if you've missed it previously, you probably don't want to miss this one. ForkFest 2020, June 29th until the 5th. Again, no tickets. Just get your camping or RV or motel room from Rogers Campground. And we'll see you there, because Free Talk Live will be there, and we'll be broadcasting from the event. ForkFest.party. There's a Telegram chat room in there, and also a forum if you want to connect with other ForkFesters. Let's go to Jim in Iowa. You're on Free Talk Live. Jim, go ahead. You're on Free Talk Live. Jim?
Judge, I guess is his name.
Hi, you're on the air. What was that?
Yeah. Buttigieg, is that his name?
One of these politicians. I've heard that name before. He's one of those Democratic guys, right?
Yeah.
What about
I think
him?
He could be elected president of Sodom and Gomorrah. And for me, it's hard to believe that this country is rotten enough now they would vote for a depraved pervert to be their leader. You know, God sets up nations.
Now, hold on. What is it? You say he's a pervert. I don't know much about this guy. What is it that, you know, you're referring to?
He's a filthy homosexual pervert. Do you understand that?
How do you know if he's filthy?
Who cares?
Are you saying he doesn't bathe?
I'm saying the acts that he does is he's filthy. He, you know what he does with other
No,
men.
I don't know what he
I'm
does.
I'm not disturbed. It sounds like you're disturbed.
He's depraved. He's an abomination.
Wait, are you saying that all gay people are filthy? Because most of the ones I know are very clean. They take showers regularly.
They're like cats.
Just like a pedophile. Just like a pedophile. The things they do with their filth.
That's a completely different thing.
Are you calling from prison by chance?
Abomination. They degrade their own bodies. You understand that?
No, I don't understand that. So you're actually on the show right now.
How do you feel about heterosexual sex?
You'll figure it out.
Well, I've got questions for you. I'm just trying to understand, you know, where you're coming from on this. Now, I'm not a gay man, but there's at least one of them in the studio here with me tonight, and I think at least one bisexual in the studio.
Yeah, technically pansexual. It's whatever falls in my pan.
They degrade their body. You quit laughing. I can explain it to you.
Okay, let's hear it.
They degrade their bodies. They're abomination. They degrade their own bodies. They're depraved. They leave the natural use of the woman.
What do you mean
by
that?
You understand that? They're unnatural. They're filthy.
That's not true, sir. They're plenty natural.
What do you mean by degrade?
Are you saying you're GMO? Are gay people GMO?
I'd like to hear his answer to Chris's question.
How do gay men or women degrade their body?
Because of the unnatural acts that they perform on each other, you moron. What are you?
Well, that's not very nice.
You think you use your mouth for
You're not burdened with an overabundance of education, are you, bro?
So what defines what's natural and what's not?
You're proof. Hey, you just proved my point. This country has gotten so rotten, there's guys like you don't even know right from wrong anymore.
What is wrong about loving somebody?
I think I was mistaken about asking if he called from prison. It's more like a mental hospital.
Hold on, what is wrong about
Westboro Baptist.
Look, yeah. I mean, don't lower yourself to his level by insulting. What is wrong with loving somebody, whether they're the same gender or not, sir?
I didn't say you couldn't love you. You can love your brother. It's the unnatural, filthy acts that they perform on each other.
How do you take the guy seriously,
you know,
though?
What sodomy is?
All sex filthy to you?
Do you know what sodomy is?
How do you know that all gay men commit sodomy, sir?
Do you understand that? Are you a pervert? You must be a pervert yourself.
Jim, ask you a question. Are you just here to shout? Jim, are you just here to shout, or do you want to have a conversation? Because I want to know, are you just presuming?
Okay.
Are you just jumping to a conclusion that all gay men engage in anal sex? Is that what you're jumping to that conclusion?
Well, actually, oral sex is sodomy as well.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That or other unnatural acts. Do you know what it is?
So how do you determine what's the difference between a natural sexual act and an unnatural sexual act?
The way God intended it, for a man and a woman.
Did God tell you?
Okay. You do realize that your God is just a lie, right?
He wrote it right in his word, which you better believe, and you will answer to someday.
Is it also unnatural when two animals of the same gender have sex with one another?
That's a lie.
I've seen video.
That's a lie.
Yeah, they actually wouldn't report it.
Intentionally? Is that what you were looking for?
No, penguins, penguins actually go a step further. They actually have sex with other dead animals.
One more thing before I hang up. You just proved my point. This country has gotten so rotten and so low that guys like you don't even know the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. You understand that?
Is somebody been hurt in it?
Well, why don't you move
way?
To Africa, bro? Because there they really don't like that kind of thing. They seem to
they put people to death, which is wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. But I'd rather have him there than here. So if that's what you're into, please go somewhere more hateful.
So
we won't miss you at all.
Hey, you sound like a filthy homosexual. Is that what you are? You
really?
Dirty pervert.
Now, is that a matter of timber or tone? How exactly do? How can you tell how dirty somebody is by the sound of their voice?
This guy's kind of funny, actually.
He's hilarious.
Like, this is just, like, is he serious?
Are you a member of the Westboro Baptist Church?
He's seriously thinking a lot about sex with men. This guy thinks a lot.
He's kind of obsessed, isn't he?
Because you hear it all the time on the radio. The perverts have their parade.
You think about it so much, you had to call a talk radio show about it. It was on your mind. You wanted to talk to other men about sex with men.
Sounds like a closet homosexual, probably.
I bet that's what he is.
It's brought up in a religious environment.
They do that unnatural stuff right in front of little kids. They don't care. They're perverts. What about a pedophile? Is that unnatural? Is that okay, too?
Thank you for the call tonight, Jim. Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
I didn't think there were people out there like that.
There really are people like that.
Where was he from?
Iowa.
Okay, I was thinking maybe Kansas. But yeah, Iowa's close enough.
Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Wow, you can share your thoughts on whatever you want.
Yeah, he said that again.
And he's been thinking real hard.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Now, you know, I guess I should say not quite anything you want. I mean, we can't talk about sex in detail. Like, you can't... you can't get into the pandering, if they would call it pandering, to the lowest common denominator. So you can talk about your sexual predilections, like that last guy that called in who was really super interested in talking about how much he hates gays because, well, he thinks a lot about them. But we can't, like, talk about the details of the acts involved in those things. We can sort of dance around it, but because there's all these pesky FCC rules about what they call obscenity and indecency, and there's certain lines we can't cross.
Can say Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yep, you can say most anything you want to, as long as it doesn't cross those FCC lines, and we'll let it go here on Free Talk Live. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
So, also want to make sure you know about local.bitcoin.com. This is a place where you can go to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash, and you can do it globally on a variety of different payment methods. Some of those payment methods are higher risk than others. If you're going to be selling Bitcoin Cash, you need to do your due diligence and find out which are the higher risk methods versus the safer ones. If you're buying Bitcoin Cash, you don't have as much to really worry about, especially if you're buying from somebody that's got a reputation on the site, that's got some sales under their belt. As long as you're buying from somebody that has a good reputation, you're pretty much safe to do that. At local.bitcoin.com, get on over there. One of the most important things about the site that really sets it apart from the competition is there are no ID requirements in order to sign up for or to use the site. So get on over to local.bitcoin.com. As we continue here, you can bring up anything you want. I'll get back into this editorial piece targeting liberty activists for getting involved in DUI or DWI checkpoints. But we've got Olivia on the line right now, first in Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Olivia.
Hey, epic show tonight, guys.
Hey, thanks.
The problem with videotaping cops while they work is that if you do that, then their body cams can't malfunction at key moments.
So true.
Yeah.
You know, let us fill in that blank for you.
And you know, if you have that evidence, their chance of getting convicted goes up by like 1%. So we can't have that, right?
Yeah, the cops definitely are very uncomfortable of independently operated cameras being around. They don't like that at all.
No.
Mm-mm.
But too bad.
but I got in a discussion with a family member. Oh, by the way, the last caller, unfortunately, there are people like that out there. There's family members that I've had to disown who literally sound just like that guy.
That's so sad.
I got in a discussion with somebody about anarchy. They were like, why do you say you're an anarchist? And I was like, because government is horribly corrupt. And we kind of went down that trail. This happened like yesterday. And they asked a good question that I want to ask you guys about. But it was so funny because at that moment we're driving. Well, okay. So they talked about how, government should be local. And, you know, like at the city level. And as we're driving, we're actually driving through an area of the country where it's like out of the city limits and there's nothing out there. And I was like, there's no city government here. Where are the arsonists? Where are the gangs of burglars? You know, that guy has an RV in his driveway and a boat. Oh, my gosh, the world's going to implode. Oh, wait, no. You know, I tried to be polite, but it was just like... And he was like, well, you know, some people don't want to live that way. I'm like, that it doesn't matter if I have a million people who side with me on, you know, you shouldn't be able to live your life a certain way. You know, your rights end where the other person begins. And so I tried to have that conversation. But one thing that they asked was, what about a military to protect from countries like the communist Chinese and things like that? And I really didn't have an answer. So I was wondering what you guys thought.
My answer to that would be, first off, that's why we need AR-15s and why we need M-16s and why we need M-50s. And, you know, there's very little, I think, that cannot be handled by militias and neighborhood watches and mutual aid societies and things like that, and also private professional security. You know, and one would expect that, yes, they would cooperate in the chance of an invasion, but we don't need a standing army.
In fact, there wasn't one. Originally, constitutionally, there was no standing army. They had to form it at the time that it was needed, and then eventually they just stopped disbanding it. They kept authorizing over and over to continue.
Well, the thing is, they could authorize an army for up to 2 years at a time, so just every 2 years they reauthorize it. But they still have to do that.
Yes. That's
wow.
You've heard of the author, what do they call it, the Authorization Acts or something like that? There's a certain
title. This reminds me of the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
It's called like the Military Authorization Act or something like that. I know that's not the exact term for it, but every couple of years.
So I guess there's no hope to getting rid of the Patriot Act then, because they do the same damn thing with it.
In fact, they just redid
that, didn't they? Right.
I've got a
news story slipped
about
it into the budget. Kudos to Amash, who was the one person who objected
to
that.
Really? Only one person?
Amash, well, I don't know he was the only one, but he was the one who I heard objecting to it when everybody else was talking about the impeachment. And it's like, the reauthorizing the Patriot Act, that's pretty important.
There is the old apocryphal quote that is, I don't know who actually originally said it, but it's attributed to, I think it's Admiral Yamamoto, and he didn't apparently say this, but the reason why the Japanese didn't want to invade the American mainland was because there was a rifle behind every blade of grass. And that wasn't, he wasn't talking about the military. He was talking about the individuals in the United States who own guns and who weren't afraid to use them to defend themselves. That kept them out.
Or were afraid, but would do it anyway.
Yeah. So, so that's kind of the short answer there. And then to give a little bit more on, like, well, what about, you know, missiles that might be shot? Because, like, it's one thing to say, well, you've got guns, but what about big weapons that these other governments might have? And I would say, if there's a demand for missile defense, then let people pay for it on their own volition. Let people come together and raise money and pay for those sorts of things.
Yeah. It's not like it's the sort of thing that people are going to buy on their own anyway. Those things are expensive. So it's going to be a group of people with some sort of board, probably.
Well, you can't assume that just because you don't have a government where you are that nobody has a government anywhere. My assumption is that you know, the first anarchist society will be a small piece of land in a world that's mostly governed, unless it comes about as the result of, you know, say a giant meteor or EMP or something like that.
I don't necessarily think that, like, having some self-defense, like, is a bad thing. Like, it's just that it shouldn't be forced upon us in terms of use of violence by the, you know, the government, so to speak.
Yeah, because once they can force you to pay for it, then they can go send them overseas to do things you don't want done, and you can't stop paying.
Exactly. And force you to pay any price. I mean, you said it's expensive, but I bet you the price would come down if there were actually competition in the marketplace for those sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I don't necessarily know that the government's producing it anyway.
No, they're not producing it, but they are hiring contractors. And as you know, whenever you are a contractor for the government, you can charge more for the things that you're making for them.
Yeah, I mean,
you know this. You've gotten some government contracts.
Absolutely. No question about it. Yeah.
So, Olivia, does that answer your question?
It does for the most part. I have heard that government contractors way pad their prices because they can, but I did want to know more about, like, okay, stealth bombers and, you know, napalming entire sections of the country and nuclear bombs. How do you defend against that with just like
surface to air missiles or something like that? I mean, again, you could you could have a group of people come together to voluntarily fund defense systems like that.
And I will definitely be funding a defense system if the government goes away.
And the other thing that I would encourage people to do in a case like that would be assassination markets. You know, if you assassinate the opposing tyrant, then you've solved the problem, and the next tyrant's going to think twice.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, there's more coming up here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. And by the way, the things like the dark web allow assassination markets, and anonymous cryptocurrencies can really make those things possible. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free to join us here. Number 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And I do have a story about that Patriot Act reauthorization here that we mentioned in the last segment. We can talk about that, but we never got through this. We barely even got into a sentence into this union leader editorial attacking liberty activists like those of us here in the studio who have migrated to New Hampshire as part of a migration. The Free State Project is part of it. There's a larger migration than that, though, of people who care about freedom just moving to New Hampshire and getting active here. To achieve more liberty in our lifetime, you can go to move.shiresociety.com to learn more about that. That's move.shiresociety.com. And I do want to say thank you to Sean Sullivan, who is a Free Talk Live silver amplifier. Sean contributes $5 a month to the AMP program, which means AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. The idea is to help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations, to bring new internet listeners on board with the show. In fact, we just added a new station. I've not yet welcomed them on the air because I'm not yet sure which hour of the show they're taking. They're taking 1 hour per day, and they're doing what they call in the business delay broadcast. So it's played back the next day. But they're playing us actually from 11 a.m. to noon. So we're the midday show on a radio station in Kentucky. So once I figure out which hour of the show they're taking, we'll welcome them officially because, you know, I want to say hello if they're actually listening.
Well, hey, if you don't get all 3 hours or you don't get Free Talk Live every night, be sure to check out dlive.lrn.fm or cam.lrn.fm. There's lots of ways to catch the show if you can't get it on the radio all the time.
Absolutely true. So we're going to continue here. Let's get back into this story, the attack hit piece against liberty activists. Actually, Dave Ridley brought this up tonight when he called in. I didn't even know this editorial existed, so it's the first I've seen of it. But they're upset at the Union Leader, the number one newspaper in New Hampshire. And by the way, in case I didn't mention, if you want to join the AMP program like Sean Sullivan, go to amp.freetalklive.com. It's ampamp.freetalklive.com. I certainly would appreciate it. It makes a big difference to know that people actually support what we do here directly and helping us get on more radio stations. We got over 200 right now. We can do more thanks to listeners like Sean. It's ampamp.freetalklive.com. All right, so we got through one sentence of this thing here from November 17th in the editorial section. They say, "We hold no brief for the self-styled free..."
Whatever that means.
"...free state activists who enjoy getting in the face of law enforcement officers." Well, actually, I actually would enjoy avoiding law enforcement. I'd prefer to not actually be have a law enforcement officer in my face.
I got to admit, though, when I do get in their face, I kind of enjoy it. So.
Yeah, but you don't ever go up
you
to
don't
an,
go to you never. I want to know one activist who's ever gone up to an officer and gotten in their face.
Because no, it doesn't
you
happen.
Don't do that. If you were to do that, you would be probably like attacked in some way with their baton.
Oh, they get
or
very
a gun
frightened
or something
if,
like
yeah.
that. You cannot even get close to a cop on the street. They will tell you back up. They will literally tell you to go a block away.
They
and
shouted at you when you crossed to a median and you
yes.
got, you know, a little closer to
they
them.
Came to mm-hmm. me. They had to cross. They had to right. come at least as far as I had to walk
To them. Yeah, and that's what they're referring to here. They're referring to the video, to the incident, which I presume they didn't even watch the video, or when they watched it.
Because they have a certain perspective, and they're going to warp it in that perspective.
Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's a lie. It's wrong.
But
it's,
in the
it's
video, and you're right, if you don't have this preconceived notion that the cops are doing everything right and the activists are bad, and you come into this video and you watch what happens, it's crystal clear. Mm-hmm. And it happened to you, Chris. Yep. You crossed from one side of what was at least a four-lane highway,
yes.
Or not highway, but road in downtown Manchester.
It's a road.
There were at least two lanes on each side of the road.
Yep.
The cops had shut down the westbound lane, the two westbound lanes for the DUI
checkpoint.
Bridge
Street.
Bridge Street. Oh, yep. Okay. And then on the other side, so the eastbound lanes, we were there on the other side, and you started crossing towards the median. I followed you. I was also crossing toward the median, but you were the first person to go, and they start shouting at you.
Which is funny because he said that you can't cross here. Go down and cross over there, but you couldn't cross over there because that side of the road they had closed off illegally.
They had shut down the sidewalk, actually, is what you're referring to.
Right.
And what he said was when you were crossing, he bellows out something like, "Get back across the road, or get up back where you belong," or something like that. Something very condescending, something very rude. And they're trying to tell you to turn around as they start coming towards you.
Yeah.
You were not going up towards them. You were going to stop on the median.
So when they started yelling, I had already basically reached the median.
Pretty much.
It's not quite a median, but it's basically it's
a median. There's a concrete thing.
I think there's
a
legal definition for median. That's why I'm saying
island.
It's not quite a median.
Okay, whatever
but,
it is.
Yeah.
You can stand on it and not get hit by cars.
Exactly. And I bet if it was like, mainstream media, they probably wouldn't have had a problem with it. But because it wasn't, they didn't like it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to,
if you look at the video, they came across, they've identified us already, and they even broadcasted it over their radio.
Did they?
Yeah, they broadcasted, they said Chris on the radio before I even crossed the street. Somebody recorded that.
Really?
Yeah, I actually have an audio recording of it. It should have been on the flash drive that I gave you, actually.
Oh, interesting. I didn't notice.
Yeah,
oh,
so they had already identified us. So anybody who's saying, well, they don't know who you are or what you have in your hand, that's nonsense. If you look at the video, he's actually walking down, the guy who crossed the street, the first cop that came over, went across the street, walked right past us, then started to go down to a highway, walked down a long staircase, and at the bottom of the staircase, if you had opened the door, you would have been literally on the highway, like an actual highway.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I wondered what was down there.
You can see from the video that there's cars passing by. Uh-huh. And so there obviously he doesn't go anywhere. And if he had actually tried, he would have gotten himself killed probably.
Yeah.
Because
he went down there to scope us out, right?
And he turned around right away.
Yeah.
So it's very obvious that once he realized that, I don't know, I guess once he realized that he couldn't continue down the staircase, or I don't know what he was thinking. Like, did he think that we weren't going to notice? I at least noticed it. I don't know if you noticed it at the time, but I suspect you probably.
We both noticed him go over there. It's in the video.
Well, right. I certainly noticed it. And I was just like, and I'm pretty sure we may have even commented
about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was just.
It's in the video.
Yeah. But the reason I bring this up is because of so many people have made negative comments about how, like, well, they don't know who you are. They don't know what you had in your hand.
Yeah.
And it's like, they did know what we had in our hand because they had already identified us before. Either of us across the street.
And at one point, the officer who accosted you and got in your face, by the way, this guy closes a 50-foot gap between you and him and gets literally right up in your face, then later accuses you of getting in his face.
Yeah.
And in his sworn affidavit, the police report, he claims that he was worried that you were going to hit him with your video camera, but says nothing about mag light that you had in your other hand.
One thing I have to say about that is they're trained to use those mag lights
as weapons.
Right. So there's absolutely no excuse.
They know they can be used as a weapon.
There's no question about the fact that the cop was targeting the camera for because of the video and not because he thought it was a weapon of some kind.
Yeah.
He lied
on his sworn affidavit.
The reason that's
and
actually
we caught him in
it's part of the reason that, and this is what Seth was quoted in the Union Leader as saying, is the reason they dropped the criminal charges was because what he swore to didn't match with what was on the video.
Right.
So
busted.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
badge number one, by the way.
It is. He was badge number one.
Robert Harrington. And we've had a previous interaction with him. And when I say we, I mean activists in general. Yeah. Me and Derek J.
Violating
Freeman.
People's rights again. Then people not doing anything. And he just goes up and, yeah, go ahead.
Derek J. Freeman, during Derek J.'s victimless crime spree, we were in Derek's car in Manchester for some reason. And Ademo was there, Kate and Derek and I. And this cop had pulled us over, and he actually pops open Derek's driver's side door at one point. Obviously, he wanted to get a whiff, I think, of what was happening in the car. I think that was his reason for doing
it. These cops have no problem violating your rights.
Yeah, and we called him out for it, and we got all over his case for it. Derek actually posted a video on the Cop Block YouTube channel, and the thing got shared, and it got like 600,000 views.
Wow.
And of course, there's plenty of people who commented very negatively, like, how dare you be mean to that cop, blah, 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 you shouldn't talk back. You should have a right to do this and that. And you know what? People have a right to say whatever they want to, but there's all...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But anyway, back
that
to...
That doesn't make them right, though.
Yeah, that's right. And back to the story here from the union leader. So now we're going to get into the meat of what their critique is, besides claiming we're getting in their cop's face, which is false. In an age when drunken, drugged driving appears to be on the upswing...
No, it's... we already know for a fact, and the cops have admitted this in the State House and in quotes by the paper itself, that the DWI checkpoints are less effective than roaming patrols, and they have funding for either roaming patrols or the DWI checkpoints. There's no reason for them to be doing these DWI checkpoints.
Yeah, they almost never actually catch drunk people at them.
Yeah.
Almost never. It's like... Moving vehicle violations, or somebody's got some weed.
Yeah.
I mean, those are really the only
things. And they're
not
allowed to do that, actually. There's
more coming up here. This is Free Talk.
Anarchapulco is the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists, held in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico. Share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state. Their unparalleled lineup of speakers will discuss entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships. Stay in a world-class resort and enjoy the sun and beaches. February the 13th through the 16th, visit anarchapulco.com for early bird pricing and 10% off with coupon code FTL.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want here. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. The critique of activists in New Hampshire, the liberty movement here, there's a migration that's been going on for 15-plus years. We came up here in 2006. It had been going on for 3 years, I think, prior to that. The Free State Project was the initial motivation for a lot of folks to migrate here, but it's become a larger movement since that time, with the Shire Society being formed back in 2010, encouraging people to move on a decentralized basis without signing up or giving their information to a centralized bureaucracy. With you in the studio here tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
But the people of New Hampshire, of course, are a variety of folks, and so they have a variety of opinions about the activists that are within their midst. And the editorial board at the Union Leader newspaper has some opinions, specifically in reference to activists like us, who have a tendency to stand up for our rights and the rights of others by challenging police abuse, holding police accountable. And in the case of what we're talking about, you, Chris, getting arrested outside next to a DWI checkpoint back in 2017, I think it was, April of 2017, if I recall correctly.
2 years ago.
We had gone out there because this is our idea of fun, is to go out and hold the police accountable.
I'm going to back up a second on that one. I don't know if I would call it fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
It was cold. It was miserable.
Was it that cold?
It was chilly. April. I had a hood up. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I wasn't putting the hood up because, it looks bad on camera. I wasn't because of that. It was cold.
I think you look pretty badass.
Badass, but that wasn't my objective.
I like that picture where you're face to face with the cop, and you're just like, "Hey, look here, buddy."
But the crazy thing is, he came up to me, right? Like, it's like I get that people. It looks
but
like
you
I'm,
didn't back down. That's right. They expect people to give it's ground when back, they approach,
right? And it's true that I didn't back down. I didn't move. I stood my ground.
And
but that doesn't change the fact that the guy came up to me.
That's
not me go up. Going up to the guy.
And it's all on video. If you want to see the video, go to freekeen.com. Mm-hmm. Scroll down. It's a couple entries, maybe two or three entries down. The video footage, actually, that you had on your camera was what came out recently. Because I had my camera, and they didn't confiscate that because I didn't get arrested. So my camera's footage got out immediately.
And I have to say, that footage, the editing job that you did was just amazing.
On your?
With when you added in the.
Okay, so I was going to say, I didn't edit.
My camera.
I didn't edit in that I cut something. Thing, right, there was nothing cut from your footage. I added
The reason I say this,
music.
No, I added my camera's view. So when you have two cameras at the same time that are recording,
So you're just showing them synchronized.
The reason this is great, this editing job was awesome, is because you timed it right, so you can see even though there's some movement in some of the cameras and things, stuff you couldn't see before becomes apparent. Like you can hear the camera being ruffled with
The audio is from your camera.
Right.
The video, the main video, is from your camera, and then there's a little window where you can see my camera's view.
Somebody who isn't entirely obsessed with the cops can't do anything wrong is going to recognize the way it was combined together, that it was in fact the other guy in the wrong. Because before, when you're looking at the videos individually, separately, it's not as clear, and I could understand in a little bit anyway. Somebody who's looking at the original video that was originally published, it sort of seemed like I was getting in the guy's face a little bit, especially if you're not paying that close attention to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with the combined videos, it becomes much clearer that that's not what happened.
As long as you aren't a biased for the cops person.
Right.
And the other nice thing about that is it gives you some level of security, because if Ian had wanted to cut out a part of the footage, it would be almost impossible. It would be really difficult with two cameras to cut the same seconds out and have them not look bad. And the more cameras you add to the mix, the more security you have that what you're seeing is real.
It didn't come out. There were some things that do look bad because they were kind of. Unfortunately, it was not like when we were talking. Like, nobody expected us to need to utilize the video of the, you know, any of the video that we're recording. Was kind of boring.
Nobody
expects
the Spanish Inquisition.
But you had to have that cop going down that staircase, because without that, and then the problem is, though, then we said, you know, there were certain things we said, like jaywalking and stuff, and it kind of looks bad, because it looks like we're challenging the law when we're not really challenging the law. Because well, in some respect, it sort of looks bad.
He's saying
only
to some people,
looks bad. But if you understood what was going through my head at the time, and again, I don't know about your head, I don't know what you know about the jaywalking law, but certainly what was going through my head is, well, it's not illegal to cross the street, and therefore I can, in New Hampshire, do that without, you know, fearing arrest effectively, to some degree anyway. Obviously, we both know that in some respects we were challenging their authority, but not necessarily breaking the law.
So let me go on with this critique piece here. I want to get through it. It's not long. It's just a few paragraphs.
Yeah.
They say here, so in an age when drunken drug driving appears to be on the upswing, which you say is actually not true, Chris, all legitimate enforcement efforts ought to be employed. A DWI roadblock, when duly publicized in advance, is one such tool. When people interfere with such a check, as they have done in Manchester by warning drivers to turn around or to take another route, they are not doing the public any favors. Well, actually, they are. It's a total.
Maybe the public has a little bag of weed in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Not drunk, but got a little bag of weed.
Or maybe the individuals who are driving don't have a bag of weed in the car. Maybe their license is expired. Yeah. Or maybe there's some sort of thing on their car that's not fully legal. Yeah.
Or maybe they're undocumented.
So, so one of the things I want to point out is the cops have said in other press releases, like in, I can't relate to Manchester. I don't know what the story is with Manchester. I only know what I have personally executed, Freedom of Information Act request at work, 91A A's in New Hampshire for information. But the one that we did, we went to in New Hampshire, or I'm sorry, not New Hampshire, in Cheshire County. Okay. Well, it is in New Hampshire, but the two that they did this past year, maybe it wasn't this past year, it was the prior year, but the last ones that they did here.
I don't think they did one this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
If they did, we didn't hear about it.
No. But what they did was what I did was I did a 91A request to find out all of the tickets that were issued. And what we found out was that there was not a single DUI arrest.
Nope.
Not a single one. Now, there were tickets for other things, for other stupid things that they're not even allowed to do under the warrant, which authorizes the DUI. The whole reason that they have to get a warrant from the Superior Court has to do with the fact that it is unconstitutional for them to do what they're doing. And it's only reason that the Supreme Court has like sort of carved out this exception is explicitly for DUI. Mm-hmm. So anything that they do outside of this, basically this court ordered checkpoint, with a plan that's authorizing it is illegal. It's unconstitutional and they're violating your rights. So that's kind of the problem. What they're doing and the reason that they're doing it, they're saying one thing, it's for DUI, but in practice, that's not actually what they're doing.
Yeah. It's just they're trying to find whatever they can find.
And if it was, if they were doing what was most effective against or stopping DUI, they would actually be doing the roving patrols.
Because those are more effective,
those are
as they've admitted.
Right. Those are more effective.
So, again, they're claiming that warning drivers to turn around is somehow not doing the public any favors. And, again, it depends on how you define the public.
I've had a lot of the public stop and go, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's an important point, Nobody. And that is to say that if we were going out doing these things, whether it be DUI checkpoint activism or Know Your Rights activism, which I do a lot here in Keene at the beginning of the college year. We all did that this year. We went out a few weeks to hand out Know Your Rights info to the college students.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Or whether it's, you know, anything that, you know, is informing people of their rights, that kind of thing. If people hated it, if 99% of the people said something nasty to me while I was handing them a flyer, you know, if 99% of the people flipped us off as we were doing the DUI stuff, I'd give up and go home. I'd be like, screw this. This is not worth...
What, a few people who were negative, Nancy?
Very rarely.
Almost, yeah, it was almost all positive.
Yeah, you usually get like 1 out of 100 or 2 out of 100 people who might say something nasty or flip you the bird or something like that. And if it was the reverse, if it was like 99 out of 100, I'd be like, you know what, this isn't worth my time. People don't want me here. They don't care.
People don't deserve the information, right?
They don't appreciate it. Yeah. I'm not going to waste my time with it. But we do get positive reinforcement from doing this stuff. People do appreciate it. And obviously, this newspaper is not in touch with the people they're supposedly serving. There's more coming up. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free here. 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call in line rooms. Just head over to discord.lrn.fm. You can jump into one of those rooms. You'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. Also, coming up in, let's see, April 3rd through the 5th in D.C., LibertyCon is happening. It's going to be a unique Liberty Convention for folks who are looking to network. I mean, that's what conventions are really all about, is you get to meet people. And in this case, there will be 70 pro-Liberty organizations attending this event for the purpose of career advancement or business and internship opportunities. Of course, there's going to be some great speakers as well, like John Mackey, the Whole Foods CEO and co-founder, speaking on conscious capitalism. Vernon Smith, the Nobel Prize winner in economics, will speak on alternative markets. Miriam Issa is a pop culture expert and political commentator with over 300 million YouTube views. She's going to be speaking there. Plus Nassim Nicholas Taleb, who spent 21 years as a risk taker before becoming a researcher in philosophical, mathematical, and practical problems with probability. There's a lot more to learn. Go to libertycon.com for more details and to grab your tickets. You can save $10 on your registration by using code FTL. And these tickets are shockingly affordable. I don't know how they're putting on a convention at a hotel in D.C. for less than $80 a ticket, but they've managed to do this, and you knock $10 off the cost by
using code. Is that a hotel?
Yeah.
Not like a college or something. I could see it at a college, but a hotel?
It's
really?
I presume it's at the Marriott Marquis, because that's where you get the discounted room rate as well. Student travel scholarships are available, so if you know if you're a student and you can't afford the trip, well, they're going to help you with that. Save early with early registration at libertycon.com. It's April 3rd through the 5th. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Free Talk Live will be broadcasting from the event. Code FTL gets you that $10 off the already shockingly affordable price for a convention. In D.C. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I might hitchhike down there.
I go to a lot of conventions, and there's not a whole lot of them that are that cheap.
A sub-$100 multi-day convention? Can't be done.
In a city.
Yeah, it's amazing.
In a major city.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't know if they're going to have any kind of bank. You couldn't possibly have banquet dinners for this, but we'll see. We'll see.
I wonder if the organization subsidize the ticket price.
Maybe.
It's got to be.
Good question.
It makes sense to me because they want people to reach out to.
Yeah, they really do.
Do they have maybe they have sponsors?
Well, there are 70 pro-liberty organizations attending, so if they got some sponsorships from most of those, then that might do it.
That's probably
yeah, that was the line that made me think subsidy.
Serious funders, not just like
but that's a great opportunity.
Operations either.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For somebody, especially a young person.
It's probably cheaper than sending direct mail or whatever.
Absolutely. So check it out at libertycon.com. We'll see you there April 3rd through the 5th. So going back here just to finish up this editorial hit piece against the liberty activists here in New Hampshire who have gotten involved in helping people avoid police checkpoints. And look, I don't discriminate. Whatever the checkpoint's for, I don't care if it's DUI or immigration or whatever. I'm against it. Yeah. I don't think people should be halted on their way to wherever it is that they are going by some officious bureaucrats who think they know what's best.
Yeah, people have this. I think people in some respect have this impression that we're against or we're like somehow favoring drunk drivers.
I am not favoring,
and that's not what anybody has said or is pushing for. It's we certainly don't. I certainly don't drive drunk, and I don't think anybody else here drives drunk. And that's not what it's about. The point of the matter is that these they're just using these as an excuse to harass people and not for the purposes of actually making anybody safer.
Right. They're the ones interfering with our lives. So when this editorial board of the union leader says, when people interfere with such a check as they've done in Manchester by warning drivers to turn around or take another route, they're not doing the public any favors. Well, they're not doing the public any favors by interfering with our right to get to where we need to go safely without being harassed by a bunch of goons.
And the other thing that's interesting is they take the legal positivist view of what the police are doing. The courts say it's okay. The law says it's okay. Well, guess what? What we're doing, the courts say it's okay. The law says it's okay. The courts paid a judgment, or they were convinced enough that the courts would rule against them that they paid dude off. So
dude meaning Chris.
$15,000. I completely spaced on your name
for the illegal arrest that they conducted against you. Yeah.
So the bottom line is the courts would say, well, what we were doing was legal, what they were doing was legal until they broke the law.
That's right.
By falsely arresting somebody.
Nor are the taxpayers well served when they have to pay to settle lawsuits because an officer made the wrong decision by arresting one of these yahoos. And I agree with the sentiment there because the taxpayers got screwed in this deal.
I agree.
Should have been Harrington who had to pay the $15,000. The cop should have had to pay out of his salary or the insurance company or whatever.
I would also like to point out that the $15,000 is nothing in terms of a First Amendment case. Most of these other cases were $65,000 to over $200,000.
They got a deal for you.
Yeah. So the idea that we're like stealing money, or I don't even know how you would say it, but like it's somehow no. We actually did the most favorable thing for the police. So
because you were more looking for a symbolic victory than you were looking for a lottery ticket.
It's just to send a message that we're not going to put up with this nonsense.
As tough as it may be at times, the police need to react as coolly and calmly as possible in these situations. They will enjoy public support, especially if they and the city are transparent in explaining their policies and procedures.
Which they're not.
No, they lie.
They lie every single time. They lied on this report, the arrest report.
We caught them in a lie. More than one.
A sworn affidavit. Sworn
He didn't get charged with perjury, did he?
Yeah. He doesn't get punished at all for any of this.
He didn't get charged with unsworn falsification like I did.
You got
charged with unsworn
falsification. Not that night, but a couple of years prior to that.
Wow, unbelievable. It's not the first time I've seen that either by cops.
But wasn't this a sworn statement?
It was sworn.
So it wouldn't be unsworn falsification. It would be perjury. You know, it would be interesting. Is perjury a tort?
Doubt it. That's criminal, isn't it?
It is criminal. I don't know if there's a perjury tort, but it would be interesting if you went back and you sued the cop himself specifically for perjury.
I don't know if I can, given that the settlement precluded that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I
mean,
okay.
I don't know, but
don't worry. If he's lied before, he'll lie again.
Yeah.
So the more activists interact with Robert Harrington, Manchester's badge number one, with video, the chances get higher and higher. You're going to catch him in another lie.
And this reminds me of the Laurie List. Okay.
Can you explain that?
The Laurie List
is a
list of cops who are known to the government to have done things that were sufficiently dishonest as to cast doubt on their credibility. And what I'm thinking is,
it's
it would be really interesting if there was a public, like, put it on the blockchain and have a something where if you have an experience with a particular cop, you write up, this was my experience, this is what happened, and you just put it out there on the blockchain. Now, if somebody gets arrested by this cop, he can then call the people who have listed complaints about this cop to rebut the cop's credibility as a witness by saying, well, cop lied here, cop lied here, cop lied here.
855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us here. You can bring up whatever you want on Free Talk Live. 855-450-3733.
That would be really cheap.
I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet, at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And, of course, you can bring up anything that you want here on Free Talk Live, although we've been talking about holding the police accountable for bad behavior, and if you want to comment on that, you are certainly welcome to do so. Also, I want you to know about helpmetakebitcoin.com. It is a place to go to start taking cryptocurrencies at your place of business, although we did learn earlier tonight that AnyPay is having some technical difficulties as we speak.
There is some news. They did disable the coins, so you can't actually use it now, so people won't be spending money and it going nowhere, basically.
Oh, okay. Did they disable all of them because they were all having difficulties?
That's what the developer said.
Okay, good. Good, good.
Yeah, and they will return that, I'm sure. They'll fix it.
Yeah, so basically the queue has filled up, and so they have to expand the size of the queue in order to make it work again.
They need more buffer, more hardware, or whatever. RAM. Who knows? But they usually get on the there are some issues on occasion. We are on the cutting edge of technology here, and sometimes that means it can hurt a little bit when you're out there on the cutting edge. Helpmetakebitcoin.com. You can accept Bitcoin and Dash and Bitcoin Cash at your place of business, and you can do it over an iOS or Android device via their app or any web browser. Helpmetakebitcoin.com. And as I was saying before, it's actually one of the AnyPay guys, Steven. It's his birthday week, and they traveled to Spain. And
happy birthday,
terrible
Steven.
terrible time to have problems.
Anybody that knows, you know, anything about technology, is as soon as you leave the office for a vacation is when things break, inevitably. It's like the Murphy's Law of tech. or whatever. The other night I walked the dog and, you know, something broke while I was literally walking around the house. It was like last Wednesday. I think it was Aria and Jay couldn't get on the air. There was something went wrong. As I was like outside for 10 minutes, I couldn't get away. So it's the way things go.
Yeah.
Helpmetakebitcoin.com. Go check them out. Because normally, 99% of the time, it works pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's fairly rare that I've run into a problem. But the good news is Brandon appears to be indicating that he can fix it.
Good.
And it'll be up and running shortly.
Cool. All right. So the final piece here, the last couple sentences of the union leader story, which started as a critique of the free staters or the liberty activists, people who are holding the police accountable, cop blockers in Manchester, New Hampshire, the DWI checkpoint, actually ends up being a critique of the city government in the very end of the story. So let me continue here. They're talking about how they believe the police, this is the editorial board of the Union Leader, the newspaper of record in Manchester, that the police need to react coolly and calmly, or as coolly as calmly as possible in these situations, meaning with the activists present. They will enjoy public support, especially if they and the city are transparent in explaining their policies and procedures. That would include city solicitor Emily Rice being more forthcoming. This was her response to the union leaders' questions about a $15,000 settlement with a free stater arrested at a DWI checkpoint.
That would be me.
That's you. Quote, as you know, the city does not provide commentary regarding settlements on legal or personnel matters beyond what is legally required. Unquote.
Yeah, see, that is an awful policy that nearly all cities pursue. And the reality is, any dime that they pay out because of a lawsuit or a threat of a lawsuit, we should know that. We should not be paying, for example, believe it or not, federal tax dollars are used to pay off the victims when congressmen sexually harass employees. And that's all secret. So we literally have if you want a job where you can sexually harass your employees and have somebody else pay for it, become a congressman.
Yep. And they finally say, we were looking for answers more than commentary, Ms. Rice. Manchester government would serve the people well to be more forthcoming. Well, sorry, editorial board. You can complain all you want. You can write and critique them all you want. They don't have an obligation to give you an answer, and they're not going to change their policy just because people want it.
The crazy thing is, this is exactly what we're standing against. You know, yes. We want more transparency. We want exactly what you're arguing for.
That's why you were there with a video camera.
They don't. It just blows my mind. Like, these people don't understand. Like, there is a reason that
they think they're going to get what they want by entreating these government goons, and it doesn't work that way.
Right.
They're trying to persuade. They're trying to embarrass them. It's not going to work that way. You can write editorial piece after editorial piece, week after week after week, criticizing the Manchester government, and they're never going to change how they behave because they don't have to.
Right.
They know that every single person reading this newspaper is going to pay their property taxes come property tax bill time, and they're going to do it again in 6 months, and they're going to do it again 6 months after that. So it doesn't matter how they respond to these situations. It doesn't matter how mad you are about it. You are not in control.
Yeah,
and they aren't in control, the editorial board.
You know, and something else I want to point out, we're not even criticizing, we're not criticizing other police departments. I guess maybe a little bit, but like we're specifically talking about this particular police department and the judges in Manchester and the cops in Manchester. I haven't seen the type and level of problem that the Manchester police have in anywhere else in the state. And I've been all over the state. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen
elsewhere.
Well,
they are the biggest department, right? Like, they've got more cops than any other department.
That's true. But I certainly haven't seen, like, I have just the week before in Keene, I was in a very similar situation, but the Keene cops don't escalate it. And
Keene cops are way better than Manchester
and
cops.
I've the same thing, I've seen in other, in other cities throughout New Hampshire, and I've never seen the level of corruption that I've seen in Manchester. And it's not my particular incident. It's other incidences as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I'm told used to be worse, but after a couple of lawsuits and getting a couple police chiefs fired, I think they've improved somewhat.
Well, I
don't know how much.
Keene has improved a lot too, right?
Well, Keene has definitely improved since we've been here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, we are having an impact, a positive impact, I think. And I understand that some people don't understand, you know, why or how things go. And it looks bad sometimes. But you know what? I'd rather have a, you know, a live in a society where, you know, people's heads aren't being bashed in, you know, because they looked at the cops funny.
Yeah. Well, you know? I've been falsely arrested in Manchester. Mm-hmm. The Manchester prosecutor has maliciously prosecuted me for two felonies and a misdemeanor. For the same non-crime felony twice. So yeah. These people are corrupt. They're dirtbags.
Yeah, it's, I think it's misleading to say it's just the police. I want to make that clear.
Yeah, it's also the prosecutors. Police, it's the structure. It's everybody who covers up for
absolutely.
Them. It's the police union.
Oh, yeah.
And the journalists who don't do their job holding the government accountable and instead take shots at those who do.
Well, this is their idea of holding the government accountable, is whining about the city solicitor, which is the head attorney of the city, not answering questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
While at the same time criticizing the people who are actually holding the police accountable.
You know what I find interesting about that is it's kind of humorous that they don't answer questions or don't respond, and that's their policy in mm-hmm. some respects, because it actually gives the opposing party
an unrebutted
exactly. I mean,
they can't hold on. They can't say anything that looks good because their officer was wrong. And part of their viewpoint is, well, you took this agreement, and in the agreement, you agreed that you weren't going to sue, and in the agreement, you agreed that they didn't commit any wrongdoing. So that's part of what the agreement says, even though we all know that they did wrong, something illegal.
I can say whatever I want.
You can say whatever you want. You're not restricted.
Right.
But the agreement specifically says that they are not liable. They didn't do anything illegal.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
the
thing
is
that's not something that if the defendant doesn't admit to wrongdoing, taking the settlement is not saying you didn't do anything wrong.
That's correct.
It says it specifically in the settlement.
Right. Oh, okay.
It does.
And I posted that. The whole documentation is on the article I wrote at freekeen.com.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
Part
I'll
of
have
cover
to read
your
that documentation.
That's part of the cover your ass that the city puts in there,
right.
Which is why they can't say anything publicly about it, because what are they going to admit to? Doing something wrong? They can't admit to that, so they say nothing. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Chris.
Oops, sorry, I didn't turn the mic on. Try it again.
And Chris.
There you go.
And nobody.
I've been silenced.
Chris, can you pull up your story about the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, if you've got that handy? Because we've been talking about police and abusive cops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing your rights and holding the police accountable. And so you've got a little bit of good news. I like to get some good news out there when we actually have it. So we're going to get into that. Plus, I do want to also remind you about freetalklive.com, which is where you can go to download archives of the show that go back for more than a decade. Plus, you mentioned earlier, Nobody, we've got video streams as well over at twitch.lrn.fm and dlive.lrn.fm, where you can watch us as we do the show live and later on as well. There's a little bit of archives there. Plus, we've got a YouTube channel which has years worth of video archives on it at youtube.freetalklive.com. So you can go to those places and get plenty more Free Talk Live, all completely for free. So please do that as you wish. So I think we're done with this discussion about the corruption, corrupt cops and prosecutors in Manchester. I'm sure they'll show their ugly hand at some point in the future with other activists. Hopefully not us, because honestly, I'd rather, you know, the Keene folks not have to spend any time in the Valley Street Jail. I've heard it's absolutely horrible there.
Well, if I can get a settlement out of it, it's well worth it.
but there's some serious issues with people dying in that jail. So
yeah,
oh, I know.
Too.
I spent 2 days on the machete case.
Well, and we know some people who spent much longer than that in there, like Adamo Freeman and a guy named Wes, and they have not been the same since. But anyway, let's go
to Wes definitely wasn't.
Yeah, no
he
doubt.
Went
Yeah, we don't want to talk about what happened to him because it was really bad. Anyway, going on. So what's the good news?
So the good news is, and this is actually, this is so fresh and so raw that, like, there hasn't, as far as I know, I haven't seen any stories about this yet either. So this is straight out of the EFF.org, which was, I believe,
Electronic Frontier Foundation,
who I believe was involved in the case. And the title of the press release is Victory: Pennsylvania Supreme Court Rules Police Can't Force You to Tell Them Your Password. So it's amazing. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued a forceful opinion today, holding, that's an interesting choice of words, holding that the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution protects individuals from being forced to disclose the passcode to their device to the police. In a 4-3 decision in Commonwealth versus Davis, the court found that disclosing a password is testimony protected by the Fifth Amendment's privilege against self-incrimination, which should be obvious to everybody.
Yes.
But unfortunately, there are certain exceptions that they've been trying to apply. And so this is what the EFF has to say about. EFF filed an amicus brief in Davis, and we were gratified that the court's opinion closely parallels our arguments. The Fifth Amendment privilege prohibits the government from coercing a confession or forcing a suspect to lead police to incriminating evidence. We argue that unlocking and decrypting a smartphone or computer is the modern equivalent of these forms of self-incrimination. Right. The cops can't do, anything to make you assist in your own prosecution. Crucially, the court held that the narrow foregone conclusion exception, which is a really terrible exception, to the Fifth Amendment does not apply to disclosing passcodes. As described in our brief, this exception applies only when an individual is forced to comply with a subpoena for business records, and only when complying with the subpoena does not reveal the contents of his mind, as the U.S. Supreme Court put it. For more on the foregone conclusion, you can read another post. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court agreed with the EFF. It wrote, regarding the Commonwealth to do the heavy lifting, indeed to shoulder the entire load in building and bringing a criminal case without a defendant's assistance may be inconvenient and even difficult. Yet to apply the foregone conclusion rationale in these circumstances would allow the exception to swallow the constitutional privilege. Nevertheless, this constitutional right is firmly grounded in the realization that the privilege, while sometimes a shelter to the guilty, is often a protection to the innocent. And that's speaking of this,
and that was the court
This is the court that said that.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what I was trying to say. With the why you should fight the DUI checkpoints. It's not to protect the drunk drivers. It's to protect every other individual who is driving along the road from bullying effectively.
Now, I have a question. I don't know if the EFF addresses this. Does this also apply to biometric passwords, meaning fingerprints? Can the police in Pennsylvania force somebody's hand?
Yeah, I don't think that this applies to that. And the reason for that is because this has to do with the mind.
The mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And a physical, they're not trying to say that they can't take blood from you or they can't take a piece of your hair or anything of that nature.
I also would not suggest using biometrics, especially fingerprints, because the police have your fingerprints.
Right.
They take your fingerprints every time they arrest you. And there has to be some way to convert that image into the input that it would produce to trigger the device.
There's another reason. Like, if you are guilty, right? If they take your fingerprints and it forces, and they force it against the device and then they have the evidence, well, it proves that it was you who stored it, right? Unless there's some other way to access the device without the fingerprint.
There always is. There's always a passcode.
Oh, is there a password?
I mean, not always. There's probably some people who only put the fingerprint lock
on.
Okay,
so you would still have a defense of, well, it could have been somebody else, possibly, depending on whether or not it logs it. Because if it doesn't log it or there was nobody. Yeah, but then, of course, there's also timestamps and things like that. So it probably would be proof that it was you who used it or created certain, whatever.
It certainly goes a ways there.
Well,
because
remember, if they're
logging what's going on, then they'll see, device activated by fingerprint, and then possibly, and then this file was saved 3 minutes later.
You can't trust the police, so even if the court were to say it's illegal to force somebody's hand and put a print on a device, they could always wait till you go to sleep and then put your hand on the device while you aren't resisting and get into the device.
And the worst thing is the facial recognition, which is, that's no security at all. Anybody who can get your phone while you're present can get a picture of your face.
Yep.
You know.
That's true.
Yeah, it's pretty much it for the story.
Let's go to Andrew. He's on the line here in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, I apologize if you guys have brought this up already and I didn't hear it, but just getting on thoughts about Jacob Hornberger coming in and trying to possibly run for presidential candidate for the LP.
You're talking about the Libertarian Party presidential candidates. They're having a party primary, I guess, sometime in the next half a year or so. Jacob Hornberger is a longtime principled libertarian. He's a really great communicator for the ideas of freedom. I think it's great that Hornberger's in the race. I don't know if you guys have any opinions about it.
He's from Future of Freedom Foundation?
Yeah, he's the founder, I believe, of that organization.
I don't know anything about Hornberger specifically. I like what I've seen from the organization.
He's good on immigration, which, you know, that's always a good arbiter of whether or not somebody's a pretty good libertarian, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like
definitely
my litmus test.
See, I'll give somebody a pass on being wrong about immigration, but
I can't give them a pass on that because, I mean, if you are not in favor of people being able to move about freely, you're not a libertarian.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's definitely a good test because it's one of those things that differentiates a libertarian from a Republican, I think, in a lot of respects.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's just... Yeah,
well, plus,
I mean,
Democrats also are in favor of the Border Patrol as well. So it's like,
true, you know,
they're not in favor of free immigration.
Some of them are saying abolish ICE, although I don't know if that means abolish ICE and replace it with fire.
They've actually said what's crazy about that is they've actually, I forget who it was quoted, but like they actually were quoted saying abolish ICE, and then they, as soon as they get they got elected, and they were like,
didn't do anything,
I didn't mean that.
Right, I think that was AOC. I think that was AOC.
Yeah, I'm just like, it was just like blows your mind. Like, I mean, what did you mean that? I mean, seriously, how, I mean, like, it's pretty obvious what the word abolish means, right? Like, and we all know what ICE means, right? So,
Immigration Customs Enforcement. Andrew, what are your thoughts?
I don't know a whole lot about him. I just heard that he was really principled, and that's exactly what I'm looking for.
He is really principled. And, you know, so's Adam Kokesh, from what I can tell. I don't know who else is in the race besides Vermin Supreme and the other guy, the taxationist theft guy, Dan.
Kim Ruff. Kim Ruff's in it.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Kim Ruff, she's, I don't know how to classify her. She seems very principled, though, to me. She always has.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for the call tonight. I imagine, you know, we're going to get to know who some of these people are as the election gets a little bit closer and the Libertarian Party ends up picking whoever they pick. And I appreciate your call tonight. We are out of time. Check out electnobody.com for more of Nobody.
Oh, and Freedom Decrypted, too.
Yeah.
And Freedom Decrypted, which is Chris's show, which he does every Saturday afternoons starting at 5 p.m. Eastern time. It's a video show. You can watch it live.
You can also download the MP3.
You can, and watch the videos later as well, if you would like, at freedomdecrypted.com. And Nobody is, again, over at electnobody.com. I heard you're working on a blog. Did you post it yet?
No, I haven't.
It's coming soon. Sometime. It's Free Talk Live.
What good is it living in a free country if you don't live a free life? You're stuck going to a job or a stressful business. You're stuck in a relationship where you're pretty much a slave. That isn't happiness. You were meant for bigger and better things. There's another way to live. I'm Caleb Jones. And my staff and I have taught hundreds of thousands of men how to create low-work, high-income, location-independent businesses, and how to date women under your terms. Go to freelifeinfo.com to download 7 free books and podcasts so you can live a life like this too.
Have you heard of LibertyCon? LibertyCon is not only a convention with great speakers like Whole Foods CEO and co-founder John Mackey and Nobel Prize winner Vernon Smith, but it's also unique because you get a chance to network with more than 70 pro-liberty organizations, one-on-one for the purpose of career advancement, business, and internship opportunities. April 3rd through 5th in Washington, D.C. You can learn more by visiting LibertyCon.com and use code FTL for a $10 discount on your registration. That's LibertyCon.com.